It is hour number three of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Last hour of the week. Pick out the stems and seeds at 2:45. Perhaps today is when I tell you why Aaron Rodgers may be going TB12. Or not. Maybe you'll go into the weekend not knowing one way or the other. At 2:30, why do May 14th and 15th matter? A bunch of birthdays and maybe the most ridiculous day I've encountered while doing this bit. And in mere minutes, we're talking funny female comics, COVID, and more. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is Chad Hastings.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, I hear Matt Damon might be on the show if we have time later on.
Yeah.
All right, hope you're having a good Friday. Lots of text rolling in on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Trey just had a where are we at in society story about these Pokemon cards, the fact that fights are happening and security concerns are going on in stores because of Pokemon cards, and in some cases, football and baseball cards. And also, George Lucas was mentioned, since it is his birthday today. Somebody, we got a couple of American Graffiti mentions. You asked about non-Star Wars projects. Directorial, the director stuff, American Graffiti's the big one, right?
Well, I guess outside of Star Wars movies, of which he directed four, A New Hope, so episode four, then episodes 1, 2, and 3, he's only directed two other movies. I did not realize that. I mean, he really has buttered his bread strictly in the Star Wars series. But yes, he did American Graffiti and then also THX 1138.
Yeah, that's his entry movie, if you will.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons that technology is called THX later on that he was a part of creating.
Yeah.
Just like Steven Spielberg's deal is Amblin Entertainment, and I believe his first entry movie is entitled Amblin, or the word Amblin is somehow involved.
Okay.
Yeah, something like that. Or there's something in his life that's Amblin. That's just a little bit of nerdy information coming out. I'll stop before it gets worse. So we have those comments coming in on the text line. And throughout the show, we've been celebrating the heroes. No matter which level of the COVID discussion you've been on, we have all helped to get to yesterday when the CDC says that if you are a fully vaccinated person, you can take the mask off in all these situations. Everybody had a part in that, whether you were locked up in a basement, whether you were at a beach party, whether you were playing football, watching football, testing someone, helping develop a vaccine, whatever you were doing, and also working in the restaurants. I'll throw those folks out as some heroes, man.
Yeah.
Trying to make that feel normal. I'm hoping that yesterday, Trey, gets a good message sent to the restaurant community, the bar community in this area and others where more people feel comfortable going back to work. Because I've encountered situations where I'm not waiting at the restaurant because they don't have tables. I'm waiting at the restaurant because they don't have people working. So
yeah.
Can we get people back to, you know, back to work there where that starts to feel normal and, you know, then things get a little more, things just get a little more crowded, but in a good way.
Well, I encountered that in a Thai restaurant right down the street from us the other night where I had placed a to-go order for fairly far ahead into the future and showed up at the time that I had selected. And they were like, we're still 10 to 15 minutes away. We're so sorry. We're understaffed right now. There were literally signs on the door going into this restaurant saying, if you need a job, we are hiring and we're willing to pay this, which felt like it was above the normal going rate for restaurant employees. But it's an issue right now. Talk to some other business owners around town that feel the same way. Our buddy Cooter with Pest Wranglers, he is looking for help. They've got a lot of work and unfortunately not enough people to accomplish it in a manner that he considers to be timely enough. So he's looking for added employees. Others are too. And these aren't all low-paying jobs, by the way. These aren't all minimum-wage jobs. It really is a matter of finding people who just want to do the damn job and get paid a decent wage to do it, too.
So certainly, you know, congrats and hero status for maybe those people in sports that at times were a little careful just trying to protect those folks. But also congrats to, you know, the NASCARs, the Dana Whites, the Jerry Joneses, the Atlanta Braves, the folks willing to take a chance, take that risk that we've been talking about throughout the show. There's risk involved in a lot of different things, and there have been certain cases now in sports where people took that risk. Because one of the biggest risks, Trey, was what would have happened if they'd played NBA basketball and it started to spread like crazy. that chance that was taken early, it would have been like, oh my God, this is horrible. We can't do this. What we started to realize was, while playing basketball, is there a real high chance that it's getting spread? Nope. What about football? Nope. What about, you know, at this level? Nope. So that finding that out early on was a pretty big deal. But we don't know that if they weren't willing to play. And then we certainly don't, you know, if they weren't willing to play and the people around them weren't willing to try to keep them as safe as they could, all those people are a big part of it. And this is an interesting weekend. Next weekend is the holiday weekend, but now we kind of get an extra weekend of maybe feeling a little normal, and then we'll see, you know, see what happens after that and see who makes adjustments and you know, who's going to stay, maybe keep it a little careful and stay with the masks for a little while. We'll see.
I do have to admit that the nature with which the CDC has operated over the last 3 weeks now is a little bit confusing and surprising too. How quickly they went from finally admitting that, okay, if you have been vaccinated, you can go outside and you don't need to wear a mask anymore, which that evidence has been out there for a while, whether or not you're vaccinated. It is not a disease that is spreading in a worrisome manner when you are outside, especially once temperatures are warming up. And that was less than 3 weeks ago. And yesterday, the CDC says, well, actually, if you're vaccinated, you don't need to worry about masks at all unless it's in these very specific situations.
I think.
And that's mostly, it's not because the science doesn't say so necessarily. It's because the CDC has been the last one to the informational party a lot over the last 14 plus months now.
Yeah, I think the possible explanation, I don't know that it's going to matter either way, but I've been thinking, you know, I'm wondering since yesterday of, is this just their only way to incentivize? Like beforehand, they were trying to incentivize someone getting the vaccine by saying, hey, we got to wait and see thing. We got to wait until we get a certain number of people vaccinated, then we'll really know. But now are they saying, wait a minute, we know enough about vaccinated people, but we're not seeing as many people get vaccinated as we want. So now this is the only way we can think of to try to incentivize it. You know what I'm saying? Like they're turning it around to now say, this is their way of saying, instead of we'll pay you or we'll give you a ticket, they're saying, look, if you get this shot, this is what's open to you.
Mm-hmm.
You can now go indoors, outdoors, big groups, small groups, go to your concerts. Like she said, like the doctor said yesterday, the head of the CDC, do those things that you've not been doing. If you've stopped doing stuff, now you can do them. I'm wondering if this is this their way right before a big holiday is coming up to say, hey, if you get the vaccine, you can be normal again. I don't know.
Maybe they just listen. Maybe the CDC just listens to this show, because you and I made that suggestion a month ago.
Right.
Like if you really want to get more people vaccinated, tell them that once you're vaccinated, you don't have to worry about most of this stuff anymore. And they've finally done that.
And most importantly, you don't have to worry about the person next to you unless they're trying to lick your face or cough in your mouth.
In terms of giving it to them or getting something from them.
Correct.
Yeah.
If you want to, like, if it matters to you, if 95% matters to you and you want the feeling of, real good chance you're not getting it, real good chance you're not giving it. Well, you can do that for you, and you don't have to care about that guy. You don't have to care about that woman sitting over there. You don't have to care about the waiter bringing you the tray. You don't have to care about the owner of the restaurant. All you have to deal with is your circumstance. And then, in a way, the rest of the folks don't matter. That's the one part I kind of like about yesterday, is they're kind of putting the focus on the person, you know, the you. That's what I can't get my parents to figure out. They are both fully vaccinated, but they're still kind of freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
Can't figure out why. I'm trying to explain it to them where they'll understand it, but you know what? That's just sort of where they are right now.
I think part of it has to do with there always being exceptions out there, and those exceptions are available to see, especially when you have high-profile people who are fully vaccinated, who are now having to be quarantined once again because they are doing the PCR test and they've tested positive. Like, several examples from the New York Yankees, or Bill Maher, who for the first time in the history of his show, he's having to cancel it.
What?
Less than a week out because he tested positive for COVID earlier this week.
Oh, I didn't hear that.
Yeah, and he's fully vaccinated as well. But here's the thing about that. Just like with people who have had COVID, and you hear about the rare, random instance of somebody getting it for a second time, these examples do exist. But they are the outliers. They are not the norm. And that's why you shouldn't be too concerned about those examples.
With Marr and these people with the Yankees, do we know if it's symptomatic or asymptomatic? I haven't read that part.
I believe almost all of them are asymptomatic. This is based on what I read yesterday and today. Marr's definitely asymptomatic. And I want to say 7 of the 8 Yankees players are asymptomatic, and the other one has mild symptoms.
So this is based on the straight-up testing. It's not based on they started to feel like crap.
No, it's based on the required testing that goes down every week or whatever it is.
So we've talked about those heroes today. It is a wild day or so. We'll see how things continue to develop. Obviously, the world of sports continues to develop and adjust. You can go to Dell Diamond, and you don't have to worry about wearing a mask now. If that's a big deal to you and you love your baseball, get on out there. I'm sure we'll see that around the state pretty quickly, minor league level, major league level. Will the Rangers go full house? They went full house day one.
I saw a highlight from that ballpark the other day, and it looked like there weren't any restrictions on how many people could be at the game.
I mean, I know you probably heard this in the Longhorn community. If I'm a Longhorn baseball fan, two games that I've watched this year would make me ask questions, College Station and Fort Worth. Because it looked, in maybe not the whole stadium, but it looked like you'd see long fly balls when you see a home run hit. That whole section out there, it's like, whoa, okay. That looks like a packed house.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard Texas fans asking that question then of CDC, and hey, what about us? What about the dish? When does this change? We'll see if things adjust a little bit.
Paul and Kevin on Everyone Gets a Trophy this week were like, look, we're not trying to wade into a political discussion here, but I think it's time. This is going to be the last home series of the year. It's important that you win all three of these games. Let's loosen this up a little bit more,
right?
If we're allowed to do so.
Exactly. I would think that might be something to look into. Also, we've been looking into a new name in sports this week, and it's one of those, just like sometimes you have to learn the, you know, how to pronounce the name of maybe your new badass defensive end or your quarterback or whoever it is. Folks in Clemson have been practicing the Uyunglele for a while. Well, the Pac-12 folks have to figure out Kliavkoff. It is Kliavkoff. George Kliavkoff is the new commissioner of the Pac-12. He was the president of entertainment and sports for the MGM Resorts International. And Trey, his resume, we talked, he done, you know, Hulu and NBC Universal and things like that. This is not a guy that's been an AD his whole life or, you know, really been involved at the sports level. This is about marketing. This is about putting a presentation together, putting a big time group together. You can see what the Pac-12 wants here, man. They're going after relevance.
And no, the Pac-12 is not dipping into the Russian mob to try and turn things around. This guy is an established businessman. And even though he doesn't have specific credentials in the college sports world, he has gotten it done in a lot of other avenues, in part because he has taken legacy brands and made them relevant again. And that's what the Pac-12 is hoping happens here.
That's what they have to do. He knows. He was real honest yesterday about it. He's got badass brands. He's got, like you said, legacy brands, UCLA, USC, Stanford. We could go through the list. But then he agrees that, hey, it's been this long. It's been USC in 04 since we won a football national title. It's been, believe it or not, Arizona 97. By the way, that's a system that's set up the right way,
mm-hmm.
where they could have had, they have multiple representatives every year and they still haven't gotten one since 97. He knows that's important. Pac-12 Network, how things restructure coming up in, you know, name, image, and likeness stuff, but also expansion of a playoff. If I'm a Pac-12 fan, that is one of the biggest deals we've got to get into, because the system is set up right now to where everybody could have a badass year and go undefeated and somebody gets left out. And I'll bet you it'd be the Pac-12. Maybe, or it's the Pac-12 or the Big 12. If undefeated champions, but Trey, it would be the Pac-12 team would probably get left out, because you'd have to put, unless it wasn't Oklahoma or Texas, the Big 12 team could get screwed.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pac-12 team, maybe USC doesn't get screwed. Everybody else would.
I'm trying to think about how many times the Pac-12 and Big 12 have participated in the college football playoff semifinals.
Washington's been in.
Oregon.
And OU. OU's the only Big 12. We know that, right? They're the only one that's been in it in this system.
College football.
Oregon once or twice and Washington once is my guess.
Yes.
If you can find a list of the four every year.
Semifinal game. Okay, here we go. Ohio State, Oregon. So there's one.
Yep. I think those are the only two schools for them.
Yeah, wow.
And then Oklahoma's going to be the only one in the Big 12.
Oklahoma once? Is that right? Oklahoma's only been in it once?
Oh, I think it's got to be more than that. Baker went in the and played Georgia, and then Kyler played in that game. It's at least twice.
Yes, you were right about that twice. So we're at 2-2 right now.
Yeah, and it's, you know, that's where we talk about it. It seems like we talk about it every single season. But
I'm sorry, Oklahoma's been in three.
It's three. Okay, I knew it was at least twice. So you know, he's going to need to make some arguments about what they have, and we talked about this earlier. You know, set up your game times at different times, change your kick times. He's also talking, Trey, about one of my things in college football: scheduling, non-conference scheduling, balanced scheduling. But my question to him would be, okay, are you going to do that, though, knowing they won't? They, the SEC, they, the ACC, they're not doing a thing.
I could have sworn that the Pac-12 has been doing an okay job with that, though.
I think they've been doing all right. I mean, Oregon was supposed to play Ohio State, remember, last year.
Yeah, and Texas has played USC. Like, I don't think that's necessarily the issue for them. It's just about getting enough talent in there and having good enough coaching to develop that talent. And that just has not been happening across the board in that conference.
Yeah.
Especially since Chris Peterson retired.
Yeah. Or get the respect for the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and all of them and say, we understand you're going to have up years and down years. Your champion is welcome every year.
Yeah.
That's what he needs to push for. Hard. Hard.
Mm-hmm.
Because then you're going to have people in the SEC world are going to not pay attention to you. Clemson fans are going to not care how good Washington is.
No, that's true.
But you need to be able to say, we're going to have a game every year in Vegas. Could you please come up with something where the winning team gets to go to the playoff?
Mm-hmm.
Can we please finally get to this point where we have at least as many slots as we have supposed, you know, respected conferences? Right now, I would argue there are only three supremely respected conferences. And the Big 12 and the Pac-12 are waving on the outside.
Yeah, and rightfully so, by the way. I mean, the Big 12 didn't have a first-round pick this year. Pac-12 has just been garbage these last couple of years. You know, their conference champ has been jockeying, you know, with at least one loss, if not a couple of losses at the end of the season. And perhaps helping them get back to overall relevance does include a guaranteed playoff spot once they do expand this probably in a couple of years.
And we've seen some teams in both of those conferences, and you just talked about them. Those teams were pretty damn good, and it would have sucked if they got left out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I'm saying is you got to have every year that champion has got to be good enough to go play in a playoff, especially when you're going through the gauntlet that the Big 12 has thought up,
mm-hmm.
where you're playing everybody. And then what does the Pac-12 do? The Pac-12 does, they do 9 conference games as well, I believe.
Okay.
I think there are 9. So they go 3 non-conference, 9 conference games. So it's more comprehensive than what the ACC and the SEC are doing in terms of playing some conference opponents. And then, to me, that champion ultimately should get it. We'll see if Mr. Kliavkov can pull that off. George Kliavkov, congratulations. Going to be July 1st when he officially takes over. It's a 5-year deal, and he is getting credit for his honesty right away. We'll see if it matters down the road. All right, coming up, we'll tell you why today matters on May 14th. Trey will finally unlock this weird musical puzzle that he's been throwing out today. Plus, we'll talk some female comics. We got a lot of birthdays to hit today as well. Stay with us. It's The Horn.
Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey.
I think I might have it.
Okay.
I think I might have it.
All right.
Do love that riff. By the way, earlier when you played Bad Medicine by Bon Jovi, somebody just texted, God, that song's awesome. And I thought, yeah, you're absolutely right.
You know.
Love it.
Why couldn't we get that song as the sing-along that everybody just can't help themselves with versus Living on a Prayer?
Yeah, I don't dog Living on a Prayer as much as you do, but I do like bad medicine. And Pour Some Sugar on Me, I don't know what it is. It's the ultimate just strip club party anthem and the whole deal. And when they play it live and my wife loses her mind,
You said that's the most attracted you are to her, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Like, I haven't seen her dance to Nine Inch Nails Closer in a while.
Whoa.
The first time I saw that, that was a big moment.
Okay.
That was a big moment. In Nacogdoches, at that club, I saw that and I realized,
I want to see her feet.
Okie dokie. Yeah, that's part of it. I wanted to see whatever she would show me at that point. But, okay, I think I got it, Trey. So you've been playing songs throughout the day, and there's some ridiculous national day here.
Okay, hold on. Let me fire off the sponsorship
before you
guess.
This hour brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialists. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialists, 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
All right, you went with Bust a Move by Young MC. You went Welcome to the Jungle by GNR. You went Wild Thing by Tone Loc. You went Bad Medicine Bon Jovi and Pour Some Sugar on Me by Def Leppard. My guess is that this is national something to do with your favorite song to karaoke day.
Oh, no.
No?
No.
Oh, darn it. I thought I had it.
That's a good guess, though. I like that.
I thought that's what it was going to be. All right, tell me what stupid thing you found today.
And congratulations, you get to pick the last song based on this. It's National Relive Your Past by Listening to the First Music You Ever Bought Day.
Oh, good grief.
So I honestly don't remember. It's between those five albums that I've played songs from. That was my first.
This is for you.
First album to have bought.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, it's easy then.
What?
I know what you have to play.
Well, don't say it. Let people find out in the last segment.
Cool. I'll tell you during the break. But yes, and it was on vinyl. It's on vinyl, bro. Dude, I bought it on vinyl.
You were a hipster before hipsters existed.
I bought it on vinyl at the Waxahachie Walmart right near the deli. It was awesome.
Did you go Pokemon cards and stab a guy to get the last copy?
There was no fight over the vinyl, as I recall. That is interesting. Okay, so the first music that you ever purchased. That is why May 14th might matter to you. Also, we have, I mentioned George Brett's birthday tomorrow, and if you haven't heard the Poops His Pants in Vegas story, I tweeted that out earlier, at C. Hastings 1049. Happy birthday to George Brett. That story still holds up really well. We have some other birthdays that we could get to, but also, Trey, earlier in the week, we talked some comedy with Carlin's birthday. You and I are big stand-up comedy fans. I asked you about your favorite female comics, and if you had like a Mount Rushmore or some of your absolute favorite, you said, I need to think a second, come back, and we'll do it. So you've had time to think a little bit. Where do you start with the female comic discussion?
Like, in terms of history, I got to give Roseanne some love.
Okay.
Because she was a true trailblazer back in the day. And then it gets more modern for me pretty quickly. Eliza, I'm a big fan of her stand-up. I think she does a good job.
Schlesinger is the last name, right?
Yep.
Yep.
Kelsey Cook is another one that cracks me up.
You reminded me of her. I mean, you reminded me who she was earlier. I've seen her, didn't know that name. She is good.
Taylor Tomlinson is maybe the funniest female stand-up comedian around right now. I think she's dating Sam Morril, too, who's also very funny. She's awesome, so she's going to be on my list, too.
Uh-huh.
That's four. There's a fifth that I'm not recalling, but why don't you go ahead and give me a couple of yours as I'm trying to remember who this other one is.
All right, so I definitely agree with your Roseanne comment. I was into that Southern wave when Roseanne and Brett Butler hit back in the day. Thought they were both funny. For an all-timer and a unique delivery, I've always got, and nobody thinks of her this way anymore. I got to give Ellen love for when she hit, man. When Ellen had that spiky mullet going, and just nobody delivered like she did. Nobody did it quite that same way. She's kind of like the female Seinfeld to me. Worked clean. The delivery was effortless. And Ellen was almost like, I've never thought of this combination before, but Ellen's almost like Jerry Seinfeld and Richard Pryor had a baby in terms of delivery. She could do a story in a way like Richard. Like, she'd just be talking. You're like, well, that doesn't feel like a joke to me. It just feels like you're talking. But then she's got that timing that Seinfeld had. So I'll give Ellen some love. In her prime, I thought she was one of the best female comics I'd seen.
Respect to that. I remember who my fifth was, right. And I'm not going to say it's a shame because people evolve, and I don't think she's as funny in 2021 as she used to be. But Sarah Silverman is on my all-time list too.
Sarah might be a Mount Rushmore type for me. I love Silverman, the modern era dirty female comic. Sarah might be my queen of that world because mm-hmm. I like a lot of them now. I dig Nikki Glaser. I like Eliza, who you mentioned. I love it when it's the just get up there, confident, attractive female comic, and she's dirty as hell. And there's something about Silverman. Silverman loves to freak the crowd out, and she's almost like a female David Cross in some ways.
Yeah.
She loves to mess with people that way, and I think she's great.
The Showtime documentary series on the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
There's another comedian in that series, and she's an up-and-comer that she is really funny, too. And I've only seen a little bit of her stand-up, but I've heard her on Rogan, and she has cracked me up. Shoot, who is it? It's not Whitney Cummings. It's Whitney Cummings' friend, Annie something. She is hilarious. She may be the best right now.
And I'm a fan of, what'd you say her name? Is it Rachel Feinstein?
Rachel Feinstein
Oh, she's good. Her too. She's really good. There's a couple others that was in a, had a documentary called Hysterical on FX that made me want to check out a couple others that I wasn't as familiar with. One of the all-timers for me.
Annie Letterman.
Okay. All right. I'll check her out. For some reason, just like with a musician, sometimes you're just with them through the whole journey, no matter what. I have been a Margaret Cho fan since day one. Day one. The TV show, the delivery at the beginning, imitating her mother, the sort of trying to let you into that world of the, you know, Korean-American experience, and then all the changes she's gone through. The tats, coming out of the closet, becoming an icon for the gay community. I've been with Margaret for that whole run. Mm. She's brilliant to me. And she also does not care if you don't like her. She just does what she does. And I love that. Her fearlessness, I love.
Big Ali Wong fan at all?
You know what? I haven't seen it enough.
She did that one special when she was like 8 months pregnant. I respect the hell out of that.
I do too. I need to go watch that one. That's the one I was going to bring up. That's a Netflix special, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I need to go see that. I've just seen her in bits and flashes. I've not seen her do a full hour, but I love the juxtaposition she sets up there. Like, well, yeah, a male comic can obviously come do the show when his wife is 8 months pregnant, but I gotta come here looking like this.
Mm-hmm.
That was fantastic. So, yes, a lot of good female comics out there. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else. Oh, I know who I was going to give some credit to. Again, nobody thinks of her this way anymore. In her prime, because it was so weird and different, Whoopi Goldberg as a stand-up was amazing because it was like a one-woman show. She'd do characters, voices. It was truly unique. I'd never seen anything like that, male or female. There weren't many people out there. Maybe Robert Klein played in that world a little bit, but something about Whoopi in that prime when she got maybe it was an HBO special back in the day and she had the twists in her hair, a younger Whoopi. That was a great set. Loved her as a stand-up.
Thinking of the last female stand-up that Justine and I went and saw together, and she was funny too. Christina Kay, she's married to Tom Segura. We talk about a funny couple. She's really good.
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah. There's a really, really cool
Christina P. Excuse me. I said Christina K. Yeah. Christina P.
And that's another reason to, if you do have Netflix and haven't checked it out yet, if you love stand-up comedy, boy, there's a lot of different things on there. Whatever kind of comic you're into, male, female, big, small, pretty, not so pretty, whatever it is, there's all kinds on Netflix to go check out.
You big fan of Michelle Wolf?
Yes. Surprisingly, because her voice is completely annoying to some people. Mm-hmm. But I watched her. I've seen maybe one full stand-up, and I watched a little bit of the show she did on Netflix. Yeah, something about her I like.
She did a good job opening for Rogan and Chappelle at Stubbs a few months back. I was impressed. And I was not necessarily, I didn't like or dislike her before going into that. I just hadn't seen much of her. I thought she did a good job, especially of hitting both sides.
You got to take about 2 minutes to deal with the voice.
Yeah.
And then if you can move past it, she gets really funny really fast.
Mm-hmm.
But I could get it if somebody, my wife heard her voice for 10 seconds and said, I can't deal with it.
Well, she's like female Gilbert Gottfried.
Yes.
You can get past Gilbert Gottfried's voice. He is also very funny.
That is a great comparison. I never thought about that.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. All right, there you go. A little thought on some female comics. On the birthday front, we mentioned George Lucas today. Trace played David Byrne from time to time, Talking Heads.
Yeah.
David's got a birthday today. He's 69 in the musical world. Ian Astbury of the Cult, CeCe DeVille of Poison is 59.
You know who also has a birthday who would laugh at David Byrne turning 69?
Who's that?
Rob Gronkowski.
Nice.
Yeah.
Rob is 32. Ancient Rob Gronkowski. Going for back-to-back Super Bowls. Not sure if you know that. He won a title last year with the Bucks.
Yes, yes. We all remember who won the Super Bowl last year.
I'm just making sure you
Bucks
know.
Fan.
Also, how about this one, Trey? Frank Gore's 38. If somebody needs a running back, he's a free agent, and he's also a freak of nature. 38. The U, of course, was the school. You realize he was on that 01 team, right? Like, that's how long he's been playing football?
Yeah. And he's also going to be a Hall of Famer, too. I know a couple years ago, Bucky was maybe trying to make the argument that he shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Like, he's in the Hall of Fame at this point. You're not the third all-time leading rusher in the NFL playing for this long and not making it into the Hall of Fame. He may not be a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He will be in Canton, though, eventually.
Go find the drunkest guy that's a sports fan at a bar and say to him, you have to buy me drinks until you can name the top three rushers of all time in the NFL. You'll drink all night long. All night long. He'll say Emmitt and Walter before you can blink, and then he'll spend the rest of the night buying you drinks, and he'll never say Frank Gore. He's the third all-time. I think the number is 18,000 yards that those three guys have all hit, and nobody else has had 18,000.
Wow.
And Frank Gore is a free agent, and he's available, and I bet you he's in decent shape. Ready to go.
Unless the drunk guy in the bar is like Ken Dorsey. Yeah. And then you've unintentionally trapped yourself.
If you happen upon Clinton Portis in that bar, or Shockey or one of those guys.
Yeah, Jeremy Shockey. I was trying to think of who the tight end was. It wasn't Greg Olson. Yes, Jeremy Shockey. Thank you.
Jeremy Shockey, who I believe I got this right. I was watching an NFL Films thing on Drew Brees. I think that was Drew Brees' first touchdown pass. Was to Jeremy Shockey. They showed a record
with the Chargers?
I think that's right. Is that what it was? Or maybe it was...
That might have been his first with the Saints.
Maybe that was it. Maybe it was first with the Saints. Maybe that's what it was. And then, because they asked him when he got the touchdown, some record, they asked, do you remember your first one? And he called out the play and the guy and everything, and then they showed the replay. Yeah, maybe it was with the Saints. So there you go. There's some birthdays for you today. Also, since I just mentioned him, Emmitt Smith also has a birthday. Tomorrow, 52 for Emmitt Smith, the all-time leading rusher in the history of the NFL.
Yes, he is. Brees' first NFL touchdown pass went to Freddie Jones for 20 yards in a 25-20 loss.
So they had to be talking about the Saints. It was the first as a Saint.
Must have been.
And that, I believe, was Shockey, and he called out the play and everything. That was pretty cool. All right, there's why today matters for us. Before we get out of here, we'll get you some stems and seeds, including the Texas NBA team that has locked up a place in the play-in form of the playoffs. One of them looks like they're going to be in the playoffs as well. We'll get you that info and also a couple of updates COVID-related. There was a lot of good stuff yesterday. One maybe not so good today in the NFL. Before we get out of here, and then we will get you to the triple option on a Friday. Don't move. It's the Horn.
Shirts and skins.
Oh my God, no wonder I ended up as a heavy metal fan.
What the hell?
Dude, you asked the question. The first album I ever bought, my grandmother takes me to Walmart and I buy Alvin and the Chipmunks, Chipmunk Rock, on vinyl, and that's the first time I ever heard Refugee by Tom Petty.
What else did they cover?
So before, as I recall, like maybe there's a Blondie tune on there, if I had to guess. I haven't looked at it in a while, but so back in the day, before, like nowadays, they do this, you know, what, kids rock thing, or, you know, kids beat, and there's been 30, 40 versions of them. You take a popular song and you clean it up if you need to, and you just let kids sing it. Back in the day, Alvin and the Chipmunks were one of the things they would use to let, I don't know, kind of let kids in the door of music. And I'd forgotten how shrill that was and how high it was, but I remember liking that song, and it had to be the just the songwriting structure for Tom Petty. And once I realized it was a real song and some, and I'm like, oh, okay, that. But I would sadly listen to that whole album when I was like five when I bought the thing.
Nothing sadly about that.
I mean, I thought I was cool back then.
And by the way, I'm sorry, I sold the day short. It's such a long title, the holiday that we're celebrating with the music that we played today, that I sold it short. So okay. My apologies. Let me read it again.
Okay.
Relive your past by listening to the first music you ever bought, no matter what it was, no excuses day.
There you go. That's what I just did.
So that just played perfectly into it.
No excuses, Alvin and the Chipmunks. Sing, and there again, there might have been Blondie. There's a couple others we could find out are on there, but I always remember Refugee. That's the first way I ever heard Refugee was Alvin breaking it down. That, man, I forgot how high-pitched that was.
Chipmunk Punk.
That Chipmunk Punk?
Or that's what it's called, Chipmunk Punk.
Chipmunk Punk, my bad. I thought I said Chipmunk Rock. They're standing in front of a brick wall, and there's spray paint on the wall, I think.
Okay.
And they're trying to look cool.
All right, so you're right. There is a Blondie song, Call Me.
They do Call Me. Oh, God, that has to be terrible.
Oh, my gosh, they covered Billy Joel.
Ooh.
You may be right.
Oh, yep. Now that you say it, I recall.
Freddie Mercury, Crazy Little Thing Called Love.
Didn't remember that.
Rick Ocasek, Let's Go.
Yeah, I do remember Let's Go by the Cars, yep.
How Do I Make You, Good Girls Don't. Frustrated.
Good Girls Don't.
I mean, they came out firing.
Oh, they did. They did. There you go. Okay, so Trey was playing some of his, because you said you just couldn't remember exactly what it was that was the first music you bought.
If I really had to choose, I'm almost positive it was Def Leppard.
Okay.
That was the one that had a girl showing her top, a topless girl, I guess, on the Inside album cover, correct?
Inside album cover of Hysteria?
Yeah.
No.
Was that Appetite for Destruction?
Appetite had the apocalyptic monster scene with, yeah, the girl was sitting by the fence.
Well, there were like a bunch of little pictures on the inside of the cover.
That was Appetite.
Okay, so I bought Appetite for Destruction would have been the first album that I bought on cassette tape.
I love that that's how you remember it. That's your memory point was her drawn boobs.
I've been a perv for a long time, Chad.
Fair enough. Fair enough. So we had that little musical journey today. Maybe you celebrate by playing that first music that you ever bought. This is a good one as far as I'm concerned. How about Kiss Alive 2? Very first album I bought. That's not a bad place to start. Or my mom bought it for me. I was 10 years old. That one's not embarrassing at all.
Bet mom didn't realize the amount of innuendo on that album.
No, she did not. Mom did not see Love Gun as a track on that record before she bought it for you. All right, before we get out of here, let's get you a couple of stems and seeds, shall we?
No stress, no seeds, no stems, no sticks.
Yes, indeed. Brought to you by AV Consultations, 255-8678, or go to avconsultations.com. Congrats to you Spurs fans, at least for now. Spurs are into a play-in situation. They needed a little help last night, but they are in. So is Golden State. So is Memphis. Lakers and Portland are fighting for that last spot. The Mavs look like they are locked in now to a regular playoff spot. So the Mavericks will not have to deal with the play-in situation in the East. Boston, Charlotte, and Indiana are into the play-in. Washington or Chicago will be that other team. And man, do I hope it's Washington, because I want Russell Westbrook's team to have to win two in a row to get into the playoffs. That's what I'm looking for.
More triple-double opportunities for him.
That's it. I may be the only fan of this play-in system, but that will start on Monday. Also, Bears coach Matt Nagy will have to miss the start of minicamp because he came in close contact with someone who tested positive for COVID. How do you not get the Bears coach vaccinated? Wait a minute. Here's how. He's only 43, Trey. He probably doesn't feel like he needed to get vaccinated. If he was 73, we could make an argument. He's only 43.
I'm also 43. I feel like I could have done a better job with the Bears over these last few years than that guy.
I'm certain you could have done that. I am certain that's true. All right, triple option coming up next with our BKD. Have a great weekend, and we will be back on Monday. Stay safe. Enjoy the Preakness. Cross your fingers that all the drug tests come back clean. See ya!